Last week, we talked to the wife of an entrepreneur about the ups and downs of everything that goes along with not necessarily knowing whether your spouse's dreams are cycling up or cycling down. And this week, we're talking to the wife of a doctor about what it's like to be married to someone with a demanding job. Now, the challenges that come along with this are different and similar, but we go into how to manage our thoughts and our experience around having to do a lot around the house when our spouses are not there and available to help, as well as managing our thoughts around the debt that is accrued when your spouse goes to either medical school or some other program that is expensive, and then you have all of the debt from that. Also, when your spouse's job takes you to lots of different places, maybe someplace that you don't like. All of these experiences are similar in that we can learn how to manage our thoughts and expectations in a way that even the most seemingly difficult situations, we have a choice about how we want to feel and how we want to show up in our marriage, and how to show gratitude and look for ways to find the good in any circumstances we might be experiencing in our life. So without further ado, here is my interview with Sarah Payne of Sarah Payne Coaching. Hello, and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm super excited about my guest today, as I am every week. She is a life coach and a fellow podcaster. She is the wife of a doctor, and she has learned all about being married to someone with a very demanding job, and she is going to teach us all about that today. Please help me welcome my guest, Sarah Payne. How are you doing, Sarah?
So good. Thanks for having me, Monica. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes, we're so glad to have you. So why don't you start by telling my listeners just a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah, so like you said, I'm a life coach and I'm a mother of four, and I'm married to Ryan, who's a foot and ankle doctor, and we've lived all over the country as part of his training, but we currently reside in Billings, Montana, which it's true what they say, like the sky is very beautiful here. So if you've never been here, I would advise you to put it on your bucket list.
Cool. So what have you found to be the biggest challenge in being married to a doc or somebody with a very demanding job?
Yeah, I really like this question. I think it comes down to just learning to take care of my own needs and not waiting for him to take care of them for me. And I know you've talked about this on your podcast several times, but it's just, I think like learning not to wait for my husband to do things for me just makes it so that when he is home, I don't have to be feeling bad that you didn't take out the garbage again. You know, I had to do this again. Like just learning to realize that, oh, I can just find a way to do that myself. And then when he comes home, we can just have fun together. Now, that doesn't mean I don't make requests to my husband. I do that all the time, but I just don't hang my happiness on whether or not he is able to do them. And so that's one of the things that's been really helpful. I remember when right before he started medical school, I was talking to like my child's pediatrician and saying like, so what advice can you give me as the spouse to make this journey easier on the whole family? And he just said, just don't wait for him to do things for you. You know, just as much as possible, find like if he isn't able to help you with whatever it is, just find another way. There's always another way. And I was like, oh, I can do that. And then of course it's easier said than done. But that has been one of the biggest challenges. And then I think the second thing is just being married to someone has a very demanding job, you get the opportunity to experience a lot of disappointment. Right? I mean, being married to marriage in general, right? You have the opportunity to experience disappointment. And I think instead of beating myself up for feeling bad that I felt bad, like I should just be grateful that he has a job at all. Why am I sad that he like called and said, I'm going to be late again? And instead just being like, oh, what if it's just okay that I just feel a little bit disappointed once in a while? And I don't make that mean that I'm not a good wife or I'm not supportive. And I don't make it mean that it's his fault I'm disappointed. Just like, it's okay if I want to be sad once in a while.
Yeah, I love that. And don't you find when you
were talking about waiting for him to do stuff for you. Don't you find that when you release him from that expectation, that all of a sudden you get all of these ideas about other ways to get that done? Like, I love the garbage example because I'm like, once I released my husband from needing to take out the garbage every time, I'm like, oh, wait, I have teenagers that can take out the garbage and I can punish these teenagers and withhold, you know, give them consequences and withhold privileges from them if they don't take out the garbage, which I can't always do with my husband. So, you know, I just think that's such a great thing, whether your husband has a demanding job or not, when we realize that we can creatively come up with solutions to our own needs, and it's not our husband's job to take care of those needs for us. I just think it opens up this whole new world.
Totally. And isn't it so empowering too, when you like let go of that and then you come up with a way to whatever, unclog the sink or whatever it is you're waiting for him to do. And you're like, I'm so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, and then he comes home and instead of being mad that he wasn't there, I'm like, come see what I did. Yeah. It's so amazing.
I love it. So you mentioned some of the challenges, but what are some of the blessings of being married to a doctor or somebody who has a high paying, demanding job?
Yeah, I think that there's so many obvious ones, you know, that most people would think of, but it's great to have a husband who works really hard to provide for our family. And it's really not a blessing that I take lightly. And it's nice, like for in my husband's particular job, to have somebody who like understands the human body really well. And if I'm sick or one of the kids are sick, I can just be like, is this necessary? Like, do we need to go to the doctor? Or like, I think at one time or another, he has stitched up every single one of my children in our kitchen or whatever, you know? And so that comes in really handy. And then I think another thing, just like having someone who has had the discipline and the dedication to go through that many years of school, that just builds character. You know, it just, he's a very devoted, dedicated person to whatever he does. So those are great qualities to have in a spouse.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think just the act of listing out those blessings, I think can totally transform your marriage just right there. So you're a life coach and a podcaster. In your coaching practice, what do you spend the most time coaching your clients around?
Yeah, you know, we kind of run the gamut, but a couple of the things that come up over and over are resentment in marriage, particularly with the women that I work with who are married to doctors, and they know that they resent their husband's job, but they're not often aware that there's some underlying resentment with their husband as well. And we work on that. And then we work on self-confidence. And then once there's like all of that, we spend so much time often like either resenting somebody, those are just a couple of examples, right? Resenting someone or resenting their job. And then also we spend so much time beating ourselves up because we don't think we're good enough. That once I clean that up with my clients and like I help them build their self-confidence, then they have all of this brain space to like do something else. And they always, always want to, well, you know, when we start talking about that, well, what would you want to do if you could do anything? Everybody has an answer to that question. I found everybody, they're not always willing to share it, but they all have an answer to that. Well, I've always thought I was kind of good at this, or I've always dreamed of being on the TED stage or whatever it is. And so we work on accomplishing those goals, and that is so fun.
Oh, that is so cool that you get to walk people hand in hand through that process from going from holding a whole lot of resentment and just negative emotion inside to like opening up this, all these opportunities that they can succeed at, all these different things that they've always wanted to do. I just think that is a cool job.
It is. It's the best job. I love it.
So can you give us some tips and tools that we can use if our spouse works a lot on how to keep our relationship strong and communicate about the things that are the most important without having it monopolize all of the time that we have to spend together?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things that I teach my clients is just to be aware of how you think about your spouse. Just what are the thoughts that you think even when they're not around? And we don't even have to change them right away, but just to like notice, what are you thinking? Are you thinking I never come first for him? Are you thinking his needs always come before my need? He doesn't really help out around the house. Or are you thinking other things that might be equally as true? Like you could give me all sorts of evidence about how he doesn't help around the house, right? We don't even have to disprove that. What could you also think instead? You know, like it's kind of like, what's the story that you're telling yourself? And I know you've talked about this before, but what's the story that you're telling yourself about your marriage? And do you like it? And so I think that's really an important place to start, and not from judgment. Like, we're so good at judging ourselves for what we think, you know, like, oh no, I realize I'm kind of hard on him, but just noticing it. Just be like, oh, that's so interesting. I thought 5 times today, I wonder if he really is even thinking about me or whatever, you know, just like noticing what you're thinking about your spouse and then deciding on purpose once you're ready to think a story that is useful to you.
Yeah, I love that. And even going one step further is thinking the thoughts or writing the story that makes you show up in your marriage the way you want to. Like, when he comes home, do you attack him? Like, you haven't been here. All this stuff is happening. I need some help. Or do you greet him at the door? Like, I'm so happy you're here. We just want to spend time with you and love on you. I mean, is the story you're writing about your marriage making you show up the way you want to show up in your marriage? I love that the possibilities there are endless. I mean, you can write any story you want.
Totally. And I like to give this example that when my husband first started training, like, I can tell two stories about our life together as he through medical school and residency. And one looks like this. Yeah, I mean, I just like gave up my dreams for his, you know, like he wanted to be a doctor. And so I just followed him and I'm proud of him. I just had to give up what I really wanted. And I had to stay home with the kids because that's what we felt was best. And he's a great guy and I love our life, but I kind of had to sacrifice my dreams for his. And we've had to move all over the place. And I didn't ever get to live by my sisters and my mom, and they all live by each other and they get to get together for holidays. And we just don't get to do that because, you know, he's a doctor. Or I can tell an equally true story that looks like, oh my goodness, we have had the best adventure. Over the past 15 years we've been married, we've lived in like 7 states. My kids know how to make friends with all sorts of people because we have lived in teeny tiny towns and right outside of New York City as well. How amazing is that? Like, I couldn't even have planned the experiences that my children and my family would have together because of his amazing job and because he's so dedicated to his work. And what an awesome opportunity. Our life has been such an adventure so far. I can't wait to see what the next 15 years bring.
I love that story. That makes me so excited for you.
Right? And both are like, I could find evidence for both. Totally find evidence for both. But like, which one do you think helps me have the kind of marriage that I want to have?
Absolutely. So talk about the debt that accrues in medical school. I mean, that is not cheap. And I looked up a statistic when I was preparing for this interview, and Google, who always gets it right, reports that 87% of American households are in some kind of debt, and the average debt is like almost $200,000. What challenges can this type of debt create in the marriage, and how do you kind of deal with all of that?
Yeah, I think money can definitely add stress to a marriage if we choose to look at the money as stressful, right? Or the debt as stressful. And just like we have a relationship with our spouse and we want to tell a good story about the relationship that we have with our spouse, we also have a relationship with money. And that's why I teach my clients that, how do you look at the debt? Like, because you can look at the debt from, let's say, medical school and say, oh, this is such a noose around our neck. We're drowning in this. We're never going to come out of it, right? And that feels really scary. And it feels like a lack and scarcity, which is interesting. When we feel scarcity around money, we often like go shopping to feel better, right? Like, it's just, we think it's going to help us and keep us from spending, but often it's the opposite, which I think is so fascinating. But we can also choose to look at it in a different way. And it might look like, wow, that debt represents an education that is denied to many people. Or that debt represents a home that my family lives in, or a car that gets my family safely where they need to go. And so we can choose to look at it however we want. I think we're often so afraid to feel abundant with money, or to feel like there's, like, we should believe that debt is wrong, right? Or like the Bible says, avoid debt like the plague. We should avoid it. But what if we instead could be grateful for the opportunities that even the debt gave to us? And then that really does change how we interact with money and the relationship that we have with money. And for example, when we are grateful for something, we take good care of it. Right? If you think about like a child, we take good care of them, we cherish them, we hold on to them. We can take those same feelings of gratitude and apply them to money as well.
Yeah, so true. So as we're dealing with this debt, kind of paying off this debt and changing our relationship maybe with this debt, what are some important things to kind of remember about the debt?
I think it's important to remember that it doesn't have anything, it's not attached to your value. Like there's so much shame around debt and like, I'm a bad person if I have debt. And when we can just separate ourselves from actually just a number on a bank account that's not even like a real hole, right? It's all electronic and it doesn't represent our worth or our value. It's just a number. Because when we feel ashamed of it, we hide from it and we bury it and we don't want to take a look at it, right? Chances are when we do that, we're not going to get any closer to understanding it and to figuring out a way to pay it off. But when we're willing to just separate ourselves from it and just be like, this is just a number, how do I want to handle it? Or what do I want to think about it? Same with any other relationship. Then you can choose purposely. If you want to feel something besides ashamed, you could feel determined, or you could feel another emotion that would drive you to take a different action.
Yeah, so great. So have you had to make any adjustments in your daily living or in your budget or monthly expenditures to pay off the debt quicker or more efficiently?
Yeah, so this is my husband and I's experience, of course. So again, like we're stripping all the emotion away from the money. And like, I'm not a better person because I paid off my debt faster than maybe somebody else. Someone else isn't a better person than me if they paid it off faster than me. So, but me and my husband as a couple, we decided that was kind of our number one financial goal, to pay off our debt. So we purchased a much smaller home than we qualified for right out of school and training. And we kind of skipped big family vacations that we've been dreaming about for years. And not because that's a more noble choice. Then it's more noble to pay off our debt than it is to go on family vacations. But just because that was what we wanted to do, that was our goal. And so that's what we worked towards. And it ended up working out great for us. But of course, again, not because I'm a more valuable person because I don't have any debt, you know?
Yeah. So talk about some of the blessings you've seen from kind of sticking to that goal and paying off the debt. What kind of blessings have you seen from that whole process?
Yeah, I mean, for us now, it looks like we just have extra income that was going to student loans that can now, we can have conversations about what we want to do with that, whether we want to take our family on a different vacation or we want to invest it somehow or whatever it is. I think it just opens up opportunities and a little bit of freedom.
Yeah, that's so great. So you mentioned living in 7 different states and all of these things. So talk about having to live in a place that you don't like because of your spouse's either schooling or job and kind of how you have dealt with all of that.
Yeah, there was one particular place that we moved. It was a really small town on the East Coast in rural Maine. And I remember moving there and for a while thinking, nobody here gets me. I'm never going to fit in here. It was kind of just, when is this going to be over? And when I felt that way, I blinded myself from seeing all of the opportunities that were there right in front of me. I spent a lot of time thinking about how it wasn't as great of a place as some of the other places that we had lived. And so of course I saw that. And then once I kind of recognized what I was doing and realized that, oh, what if I could just decide. A lot of people here in rural Maine love it here. People come from all over the country to retire here, you know? I just started to get curious. I wonder if I could find something I like about Maine. And I just opened myself up to being willing to love it there. You know, it's kind of like we talk about having a relationship with money. We talk about having a relationship with our husband. We can have a relationship with where we live too. We really can. Like, it sounds kind of cuckoo, but you can have a relationship, and you do, with anything. And so the story I was telling myself at first was really sad and disheartening, you know? But once I realized, it didn't go from like, I get me out of this place to like, I love it here. But it just kind of went from, I don't like it to like, well, other people like it. I wonder what they think about it. What might somebody else like about living in a really tiny town on the East Coast? And then it just kind of opened up. I found a lot of reasons and I talked to a lot of people. And then I ended up loving it so much for who it was. It's kind of like we love each child individually, you know. I stopped comparing Maine to Arizona, and I was just loved Maine for Maine, you know, and for what it was. And to the point where when we moved, it was really sad. And I even thinking about it now, I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to have time to learn to love it, because I think it would have been much more devastating for me to have been like, get me out of here, you know. But the fact that I learned to love it and that I was sad to leave was actually, for me, like, represented so much growth. I don't know if that makes sense.
Totally, it makes sense. And you know what I've loved about this whole conversation? I feel like we've covered a whole bunch of different topics in a whole bunch of different areas, but we keep coming back to this one idea that I started my morning with, actually, and I posted about and created all my content today around this idea of gratitude. And I think that this episode will probably air in November sometime. And I'm realizing that the solution to so many of our issues or problems or things that kind of plague us or make us sad or unhappy is really come down to gratitude and what we're looking for. So we always have the option to look for something to be grateful for. And we've talked about this before, that our mind, our eyes will see and we will find evidence of whatever story that we're telling ourselves. So if we wake up in the morning, we're like, I would love to just like where I live. Like, I would love to just enjoy this place that I'm living in, or I would love to enjoy my marriage, or I would love to enjoy the process of getting out of debt. Whatever it is that we feel uncomfortable or unhappy about, if we'll just look for the blessings or look for the things that we're grateful for, it can totally change our experience about anything.
Totally. And I think sometimes people hear that and they're just like, but that's just, you're just fooling yourself. And I think that, what if that's not true though? Like, what if you really do see what you're looking for? And it doesn't mean, sometimes I don't want to be happy about certain things. There are certain things that go on in the world that I want to be devastated about, that I want to be really, really sad about, right? So I don't think it's about like slapping a plastic smile across our face and just turning a blind eye to everything. It's just choosing intentionally and then realizing that I can be grateful in any situation if I want to. Like, there is something, if he can find gratitude in a concentration camp, then I can find gratitude in a small town in Maine or in Billings, Montana, or whatever situation it is in my life, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're so right in that it's okay to feel all the emotions. I mean, we have all of these emotions. We can feel all these emotions. We don't have to be rainbows and butterflies all the time. But I think the power in it is recognizing that we have the option at any point to grab on to that power, to realize our power, to choose in the situation how we want to feel about it. So if we want to be sad about it for a while, that's fine. If we want to feel the negative emotion so that we have the experience of feeling it, that's fine. But we have the power to change it whenever we're ready.
Exactly. I love that so much.
And I love that that's what you do for a living, and that I love, you know, all of these life coaches and all that I've learned from interviewing and talking with these life coaches, because I originally wanted to go into therapy and I got into the program and I started studying therapy, and I would come home literally in tears after class, every day. And my husband's like, man, we are sure spending a lot of money for you to leave and be gone for hours at a time and come back crying. Like, I don't understand why we are paying for this experience.
Why are we paying for you to be sad?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I just don't like it. And I knew that that wasn't the answer for me, that going back into people's past and their pain story and having them drudge up all these horrible experiences just wasn't going to fulfill me, like teaching the fact that you don't have to go back and drudge all of that up. You just have to decide how you want to feel about it. It mm-hmm. is what it is. Our life is a series of circumstances, and we get to choose what we get out of it, how we feel about it, how we want to tell that story. And that's what's so beautiful about life coaching and the work that you do, is that you get to teach people that there are infinite possibilities, infinite options, infinite choices about how you want to feel about any given circumstance.
I love that so much. It is the best job. And I feel like in one word, it's just empowerment, you know, like it's like you just, I just get to tell people, women, mostly in my situation, like, this is your power and I get to give it. Here you go. You can have it back. You've been giving it to your past for so long. You've been giving it to your husband's job. You've been giving it to your husband and now you can have it back.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so great. I love it. Okay. So if you, I ask all of my guests this, if you could speak to just all of the, let's say spouses or anyone who has a spouse with a demanding job. If you could speak to all those spouses in all the world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about how to support each other and how to thrive in that environment?
Man, that I was feeling a lot of pressure thinking about this question. And I think just have fun together. Life doesn't have to be, I think we put so much pressure on it, the kids and the job and the house and this, and just like remembering it's okay to just be silly and have fun. I think you do a great job of teaching that, like on the brighter side, you know, like there's just like the little moments that matter and you can take time to just be silly and fun with each other.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And that is awesome advice. I couldn't have said it better. So what are you working on now that you get the most excited about?
Oh man, I think it probably came through, but coaching is just like so exciting to me. I love it so much. I love helping women and just change, you know, helping them change their life and reach their goals. And that's really, really exciting to me. And when I thought about this question in regards to like, what am I creating with my family? My youngest is 6 and my oldest is almost 13. Man, we're just in a sweet spot. It is just so awesome. To be building this little family where these babies who like for so many years just felt so demanding are now like real little people. And it's just fun to watch them grow and become, you know, their own people. And that's really exciting too. So both building my coaching and building my family are really where my heart is.
Oh, I love that. My family is just a few years ahead of you and you're in that sweet spot for a little while. It's so great. Even it just keeps getting better. And then all of a sudden we realized we're getting really close to one of our kids leaving. And then I'm like, want to bring it to a screeching halt. Like, yeah. No, I can't. No, I don't want the dynamic of our family to change and one kid to leave the nest and go be independent. I'm just not ready for that. But man, it is so fun, the spot that you're at and the years to follow just even get better. So I'm excited for you. So where can my listeners find you and learn more from you and get coached by you if they're dealing with any of these things that are your specialty?
Yeah, I have a podcast called The Doctor's Wife, so they can check that out since they're obviously loving their podcast listeners. And then you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Sarah Payne Coaching. And also at sarahpayne.com, I have a video series that anybody's welcome to download that's how to enjoy the weekend, even when your husband is on call or at work. So.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one because many of us have husbands that travel even if they're not doctors.
Exactly. But... right. Or they're watching football or hunting or right. Totally. How do you enjoy the weekend when your husband is not around?
Can you do how to fall asleep when your husband is not there?
That's a good one. That'll be my next one.
How to get all the kids to bed by yourself and then not freak out because you're all by yourself.
Right. Exactly.
I love it. Well, thank you, Sarah, so much and love the work that you're doing in the world. Keep it up and we will keep following you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. This has been so fun.
I loved that interview with Sarah Payne. And you know, when you're talking to someone and you're like, she gets it. I feel like we were just on the same page going back and forth and just jiving on this idea that no matter what challenges we may be facing in life, we have the power to choose how we want to feel about those things. And depending on the story that we tell ourselves, we honestly have the power to show up and to experience our lives in any infinite number of ways that we decide or desire to create for ourselves. I want you to let that sink in really deeply because the truth of it is we do always have the power. And I think a lot of us spend a lot of our time lamenting over something that happened in the past or something that's really difficult that we're going through right now. And good life coaches teach us how to take that power back. Like Sarah said, you can take that power back from your spouse or take that power back from his job or take that power back from where you live. You get to create a relationship with money or time or your spouse. And the amazing thing is that the circumstance, it doesn't ever have to change. The circumstance is what it is. That's the definition of a circumstance. But we get to create our thoughts around that circumstance to give us the experience that we want to have. And so I love that we talked about so many different topics within kind of being married to someone who has a demanding job and all that goes along with that, and how we can use the power of our own brains and our own thoughts and our relationships with different things and the stories we tell about them to create whatever experience, good or bad, that we're wanting to have. If you're struggling with any of these concepts and you would like to get help, Sarah is an amazing life coach and she totally gets it. So you can listen to her podcast, The Doctor's Wife, or find her at sarahpaincoaching.com. And those are linked in the show notes for you. And I loved her advice about just having fun, about not taking anything too seriously and just having fun. Because my guest on the podcast next week is my friend Celeste Davis of the Marriage Laboratory. And she is going to talk to us all about having fun in your marriage. And I love that interview as well. Not only are we going to talk about having fun in your marriage, but we're also going to get frisky and talk about sex and how to make that more desirable and more enjoyable in our marriage and more fun. So make sure you join us next week. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode, because I've been throwing in bonus episodes and those have been really, really fun. So if you're subscribed to the podcast, you won't miss out on any of the bonus episodes. You'll get a notification whenever a new podcast comes out, typically on Monday mornings, and you're definitely not going to want to miss next Monday morning. Also, remember that the Epic Marriage Summit is still available, and I'm really excited to announce that I've started working on the Epic Health Summit. So that is coming up right around the corner, just after the new year, when you're going to be setting your New Year's resolutions. We have some pretty amazing experts lined up to talk to us about transforming your health in 30 days, and I'll give you more details on that as it materializes a little bit more. So until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.